We are in Book of Mark, chapter 4. Start from verse 1.
And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable.
Here Jesus Christ takes his disciples and goes to the seashore and takes the ship and enter into the boat, sits in the boat, he says he was sitting in the sea, and multitude of people gather there to hear Jesus Christ. When they kept the ship in the water, Jesus entered and sat there and start preaching. But this time he was giving them a parable. And he gave the parable, sower sows the seed. And then he said, the seed fell on the pathway. Some of them fell on the stony ground, and some of them fell on the stony ground, and some of them fell on the good ground. And the good ground, he says, the fruit came 30, 60, and 100. And then he said, He that hath ear, let him hear. Now people heard the parable. After hearing the parable, he says, if you have the ear, then I want you to hear it. Hearing the word of God, that means you put the word in practice. You cannot just hear this way and goes that way, and you say, I heard it. And if somebody says, what did you hear? And you don't know what you heard. So now all these 12 disciples gather together and start asking Jesus, could you tell us what this parable is all about? And then Jesus said to them, verse 11.
And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
Now he says, to you, means the followers of Christ, is given the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he wants to reveal everything about the kingdom to the believers. And these people, they were not even filled with the Holy Spirit at this particular time. But he explained to them, because this mystery was hidden, so he said, it's given to you, but after the receiving the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says, I am going to reveal you the mystery. So the mystery was revealed after the Holy Spirit was given. Jesus Christ revealed the mystery to these people. They would come and ask him, and he will explain to them. But the other people, he did not explain. Verse 12.
That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them.
Now here he's saying, other people are coming to hear, they will not understand. And so somebody would say, what is the meaning? They can hear, don't understand, and their heart will not change. They will not be transformed or converted. And why? Because their sin should not be forgiven. So this kind of thing happened to the Jewish people. That's why they were not understanding. When Isaiah saw the vision, and we say, who will go? He said, I will go. Actually, Jesus Christ was saying, I will go. But Isaiah said, I'll go. Okay, then go and preach. And he said to Isaiah, you will preach, but they will not understand. Because some kind of blindness, God put it on their eyes. Read Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10.
And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed.
See, here he's saying, just like God is angry at these people. He said, you can go and tell them, teach them, but their heart will be heavy, they will not understand, their eyes will be blinded, they will not understand, they will not change, they will not get healed, they will not get delivered, and this is the situation. So Isaiah preached and preached and preached and nothing happened. Nobody understood what Isaiah was preaching, and many other prophets. Book of Hebrews chapter 1, and please read first couple of verses. He says, God spoke to the children of Israel in various ways. But in the last days, he spoke to them through his Son.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
So he says, now Jesus Christ came, who is the creator of the world. He is the Son of God. He came to let the people know what the Father is saying to the people. And that's why these Sadducees and Pharisees and all these highly educated people could not understand what Jesus Christ was saying. Why? Because we read just in Isaiah chapter 6, some kind of spiritual blindness came to their eyes. And that blindness was still there. Jesus Christ came as their Messiah. They didn't understand. They crucified him. He was resurrected. They didn't understand. They're doing Passover. But the Word of God says, St. Paul says, Jesus Christ is our Passover. And so we know as a Christian why Jesus Christ came, how he died and rose again, and we believe him as our Lord and Savior. But the Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah to come. And so still they are having blindness. So here Jesus Christ is giving the parables, and now he is going to explain to them. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verse 14.
The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Now here he's saying, the sower sows the seed. Now he's explaining. Now in this parable, sower is God. Seed is the word of God. When we preach and we tell somebody, then we are sowing the seed. So here, God is sowing the seed and he's giving an example. The seed is the word of God. Then he's saying, sower sows the seed. And he said, I already told you the seed fell on the wayside. Now he's explaining what happened to this seed on the wayside. He says, they heard the word, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now he says the Satan comes and takes the word immediately. Mark says this way. Let's read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Meaning is the same, but they're explaining different way.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
Now see, the Mark says the word is sown in their heart, but Satan comes immediately and takes the word away. But the Matthew says, actually Jesus said, but he's explaining. He says, when you hear the word and do not understand, that's the reason the devil comes. So what does it mean? When you hear the word, pastor is preaching, or you're reading in the Bible, and you don't understand. So don't get frustrated because you didn't understand. You try to find out the meaning. When you don't understand the word, and you say, I don't care, I don't have to understand, then devil get hold of you. And he will take the word away immediately. What does it mean? When you hear the word, it's important. Why did you hear it? This is important. Every word we're reading from the word of God is important. And so we have to try to understand. If you're not trying to understand, then the devil will come and take the word immediately. Now the Luke is saying a little bit different. Same thing, but a little bit different. Luke chapter 8, verse 12.
Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Now he is saying, the devil comes, takes the word from their heart. Mark says, they hear it and devil comes right away. Matthew said, they heard it, didn't understand, that's why devil came. Now, Luke is saying, devil comes to take the word right away. Why? They should not believe and they should not get saved. That is the trick. That is the reason. Why devil is so busy taking the word of God out of your heart? So he says, devil doesn't want you to listen about Jesus. Simple as that. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
The devil, who is the God of this world, makes people blind spiritually, because as soon as they hear the word, they will say, it's not important. This is for Christians. We don't have to hear it. And he tried to block the word because they should not believe in him.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
So he says, when you hear the word, that word should shine. Give the light and glory and knowledge of God and the glory of God which is in Jesus Christ. And so he says, when you hear the word of God, you don't understand the word of God, you don't want to believe the word of God, you don't want to get saved, that's the reason the word Satan takes away from you. And those are the people, the type of the people who are in the wayside. Okay, go back to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 16.
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Now here it says, other word fell on thorny ground. Now thorny ground, in some places, they have big, big rocks underneath. And so the sower sows and it goes, and right away it comes because there is no deep ground so it comes faster. So he says the people like that, when they hear the word, they are so happy and so joyful, like a people go to convention. And a lot of dancing and a lot of singing and a lot of preaching. And they come, oh, I'm glad, I'm happy, I gave my heart, I heard the word, and I'm really, really transformed. And so they are so excited. Never went to church, never read the Bible, never understood what they were preaching, but they emotionally get so much excited. They receive the word very happily, or with a gladness. And so they heard the word very happily, very joyfully, but it says affliction, persecution came to them and they were offended. Now let's go to the Matthew chapter 13 verse 21.
Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended.
See, he says, tribulation and persecution came, and they got offended. Luke chapter 8, verse 13.
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away.
Now, here he says, temptation came. They were on this rocky ground. Joyfully they received the word, but the temptation came and they fall away. So the temptation, persecution, and trials and tribulation comes, and those people who heard the word and very happy and joyful, but when they come home and start explaining, they got saved, husband might be not saved, or some other people might be not saved, and they start saying, you are not. And they start giving them hard time, and then they just got offended or fall away from the truth. And those are the people, they hear it, and they believe that they got it, they saved and excited and everything. But the trial, tribulation, temptation, problem comes, and then they give up. And that's the kind of some people are Christians. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 4, and start reading from verse 18.
And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
Matthew says almost the same, but we would like to read it from the Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 14.
And that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruitfaction.
What happened? Cares and riches and pleasures of this life did not allow them to bring the fruit or go for perfection. And so the Mark also saying, what's happening? He says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word. So in short, when the person hears the word and start thinking about the worldly thing, just think now, somebody heard the word that you should join in the ministry, give up your job and follow me or something like that. And that person says, well, if I give up everything, I would not be having a penny. How can I live by faith? And some people wants to be rich. He said, deceitfulness of riches. The riches can fool you. There are so many people go after money and they kill themselves. And the billionaires, they don't have peace. Some people have lots of money. They cannot eat good food. They cannot sleep. And they live in fear and terror. And so the riches of this world without God and the lust of other things enters in. When you have more money, you have more friends. If you have more money, you have wicked people, your friends. And so everything comes and chokes your spiritual growth. So if you're born again, child of God, simply get out of those kind of friends. Stay away from those friends. Keep quiet until you get spiritually strong. Once you're spiritually strong, then you can witness to your home. Otherwise, they are going to destroy your spiritual life and choke you spiritually. But once you know the Word of God has power, and if I believe it, I can survive. I can bring fruits to God. I'm going to live. Do you know when I wanted to follow the Lord, how many people tried to pull me down? My boss, I convinced him, but he tried to pull me down. My mother tried to pull me down. My father tried to pull me down. And even though some of the minister tried to tell me, you are crazy, giving up everything and following. So many people tried to oppose me and tried to discourage me. But I had the vision. I heard the voice. I saw the vision. I was completely sold out to Jesus. So I did not listen to anybody. And so now, I am so thankful to God that I didn't listen. Otherwise, I would have been spiritually choked. Okay, let's go to the Mark chapter 4, verse 20.
And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Now see, he says, even the some seed are sown in a good ground. That means many people, they believe the word, they are following the word, but every believer cannot bring the fruit 100%. Some people may want to go to church once a week. Some people wants to go to twice a week. Some people wants to go once a month. And so they are spiritual, they are not backslidden, but they are not producing the 100%. Some people will produce 30%, some produce 60%, some produce 100%. And some people are happy. They are saying, you know what? If I get chance to go to heaven, that's enough for me. I don't need crowns. I don't have to sit beside Jesus Christ. I can be just the doorkeeper at the gate. As long as I get out of this world, I'll be happy. But I don't like that kind of mentality. I like people to say, I want everything. I want 100%. I'm not satisfied with 30% or 60%. But there are people, they said, well, this is what I can do. I cannot do more. When I start reading the Word of God, I would have been just simply a believer. I was doing much more when I was a believer than ordinary pastors. I used to go to every Sunday morning service, every Sunday evening service, every Bible study, every open air meeting, and even preaching, praying for sick people, and everything I was doing before I came to the ministry. So I would have said, hey, I'm doing much better. I don't have to give up my job and just follow the Lord, I would have been satisfied. Even my dad says, why you want to give up everything and go? Bombay City has millions of people. You don't have to go anywhere. But I said, Dad, the Word of God says we have to go and preach the word around the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So I wanted to do that. Otherwise, I would not be coming to America. I was satisfied doing the Lord's work, but still I start thinking, when I applied to go to Pakistan, they refused to give me visa. And the Pakistan is a neighboring country. I said, Lord, I cannot go to Pakistan. How can I fulfill these words? Then Lord told me, I'll take you to America. America is a free country. From there, you can reach to the whole world. I was thinking America and Great Britain is same thing. But when I came to America, I came to know America has more freedom than any other country. so we can do more in America. So God brought me here. And that's the reason. So otherwise, I would be happy staying in India. I did not come to America to make money, but preach the gospel around the world. Now, somebody would say, oh, you would have done that from India. Do you know, in India, one pastor will not have salary even $100,000. In their rupees, 100,000 rupees, they will not have salary. Here, one radio program we were doing, first program, $250 for 15 minutes. Now, if I do one program, then we started another program and another seven programs, an African program, three programs in Africa, one program in Trinidad, and some program in Philippine Islands and European countries and whole Asia. And when I start thinking, from India, it is impossible to do this. And so when I start doing this, I start thinking, if I would have stayed in India, I would never reach the whole world with that kind of money. Even though we are sown in a good soil, some people will bring 30-fold, some bring will 60-fold, some bring 100-fold. So don't satisfy what you're doing. Say, Lord, I want to do more. Now, same way about the gifts on spiritual life. Somebody says, I just want to get saved. I don't want any baptism. Somebody says, okay, I get saved, I get baptized, I don't need Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I want to get saved, I want to be baptized, I want to have a Holy Spirit, but I don't want any gifts. And so people are limiting God. I say, get all. Say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want it all. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 21.
And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad.
Now he says, if you have the candlestick or lamp, you don't put the lamp under the bushel or under the bed. Why we keep the lamp? So it can give the light. So the same way, if you got saved, God did not save you to sit at home or sit in one place and don't tell anybody, even though your neighbor doesn't know you are born again or not. So if you are born again, child of God, you should let the whole world know that you are followers of Christ. Like St. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So we should be shining for Jesus Christ. There is nothing to be ashamed. And then he's saying, there is nothing hidden or nothing secret that you can keep. Now people are whispering in somebody's ears. That whispering is not good. Whispering is just like you don't want other people to know. But sometimes some people don't want to let the people know. But here is saying there is nothing secret. Now, sometimes people say, I have a prayer request, but it is secret or unspoken request. I can understand people do not want to tell more details about their family or more details about their physical life. But if you come to God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. He says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes. Anything you keep secret, that secret will stay for a while. There is no secret in the world. You can tell secret to your girlfriend or boyfriend, say, this is secret. And that's the things will go fast everywhere. And if you don't say this is secret, that may not go that fast. So when you say this is secret, so secret is not going to stay. People are telling their children, don't tell anybody, but I'm telling you. And then somebody calls and say, instead of saying, my mom told me not to say this, they have to lie. And so indirectly, we are teaching our children to lie. So the Word of God said there is nothing secret, nothing hidden. No. That is the Word of God. So everything what you have, to give it away. Don't keep anything sacred. That's the same with the ministers. Ministers know something, but they don't want to reveal everything to the people. They keep some of the things for themselves that people can come and ask them. But the Word of God says, there's nothing secret, so give it away. Keep on telling others what you know, because one day we are going to die. So we want to spread the gospel as much as, and tell the truth as much as we can. Mark chapter 4, verse 23.
If any man have ears to hear, let him hear.
That's what he's saying. Whatever I told you up to now, if you have ears, mean you heard it, practice it. Okay, verse 24.
And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given.
Now he's saying, be careful what you hear. Whatever you hear, that much you give it to other people. Now, sometimes people have some kind of a practice. If somebody says something, they hear it, they add something more, or they don't tell the full story. So he said, whatever you hear, that's the way you give it away. Whatever you received, that's the way you pass it on. And so when you do that, then God will bless you. Whatever the measure you give it to other people, that's the way you are going to be blessed. Let's read the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 38.
Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
See, here he says, whatever you giving to somebody, whatever the measure you gave, that's the measure you're going to receive it. And so, what you hear, that you pass it on. You give it to somebody, you can give anything to somebody, God is watching. The God is saying, I'm going to let these people give it back to you, the same measure you gave it to them. So when you give it to somebody, it's not going to go away, but it's going to come back the same measure you gave it. Verse 25.
For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
He says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken it away, whatever he hath. Now somebody said, this looks so bad. He says, if you have more, the more will be given to you. But if you have less, that also will be taken from you. That doesn't sound good, is it? It sounds like taking from the poor. But it's not like that. If you will not understand in this chapter, but it's explained in the book of Luke chapter 19. But I'm not giving you whole story, but I'm just giving you one verse. Just go and read Luke 19, verse 26.
For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him.
Now, here also you have to read the whole chapter. Now let me give you a nutshell the chapter. Now, there are a couple of different ways the chapter is given. But it's just saying that one man gave 5 talents to somebody. Means $5 or $500 or $5,000. And one man, he gave $2,000 and one gave $1,000. And he says, okay, do business with this and I'll be back. So the master comes and somebody says, you give 5,000, I made 5,000 more. The other one says, you give 3,000, I made 3,000 more. And the person who get 1,000, he said, you know what? I didn't put it in business because you are a very bad master. You're going to take it where you didn't even sow it. So he said, okay, in that case, why did not put my money in the bank? I would have got some interest. So he said, what did you do? So what he did, took the money, put it in the handkerchief, dig a hole, and put it there. Now, do you know what handkerchief is for? Handkerchief is for when you have sweat, you wipe the sweat out. When you work hard, you get sweat. If you don't want to work, you don't need a handkerchief. So he said, no handkerchief, no money, put it in the ground, nobody takes it. So the master says, okay, give me that money. And where this man will give that money, just think now. If the other man made a double from 5 to 10, and so he thinks, if I give it to him, he will make it double. So he give to the more the person has. So if you are having a company, and you made 4 or 5 stores, and you are supervisor, he says, number one store making a double profit, and everybody making more profit, and the last business you started, they are always in debts. So what do? You stop that business and take whatever it is and put it in another person who is doing the good business. Then we will understand why it's saying like this. If somebody has little, take it away from him and give it to the person who has more. Now that makes sense. God wants us to use the talent. There is a saying, if you don't use it, what? You lose it. Same idea. Whatever you have it, you use it. Anything God has given to you, if you use that talent, you're going to expand it. If not, you're going to lose it. Means God is going to take it and give it to somebody else. And that's what it makes now some sense. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 26.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come.
Now here, when you read this, he said, I don't know, I don't understand what he's trying to say. Now we are in modern technology. You can see, they can sow the seed and you can see the plant coming. There are cameras put there and they can see how it grows. But he's talking about 2,000 years ago. When you sow the seed and you can see day and night, you will not see how it came and how it grew. So he said, that's the way the kingdom of God is. You are sowing the seed, and people are getting saved, healed, delivered, set free, and we are growing. And the time goes so fast. When Jesus Christ says, I am coming soon, 2,000 years pass and he's not coming. But if you are busy, sounds like very short time. It came, is sown and grown. You know your grandchildren or children, they were a little bit baby and now they are graduated and have children and families, and then you look back, wow, it looks like yesterday. So time goes so fast. So he says, sowing, we sow the things, and you don't know how it comes, how it grows, even though you keep looking at day and night, but in front of you it grows and gets mature, and then you immediately you have the harvest, and that's the way kingdom of God is. That means we do not have time to waste. Whatever we have to do it, do it today. Don't keep it for tomorrow. There was one man, and there is a neighbor was sick, and the Spirit of God told him, go and visit that man and take some oranges and give it to him. And so he said, I'll go tomorrow. He's not too far. And he wasted one day, and next day he went there with the oranges and meat. They said he just died. When he died, he just died yesterday. So the point I'm making, this man was so disappointed. He told me his story. He learned one thing. Don't keep today's work for tomorrow. Whatever we want to do, do it today. Tomorrow never comes. I said, tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So he says, this is the way the kingdom of God is. The time is running out. We have to preach, teach, and bring the people to the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go further.
And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it.
Now, when somebody hears this, they say mustard seed is smallest than any other seed, but I have seen some other seed smaller than the mustard seed. Then why he is saying mustard seed? Because other seeds are smaller than mustard seed, but they do not become like a mustard seed, a plant or the bush. I have seen one time fennel seed. Now fennel seed is small, but if you see the fennel seed, comes like a big bush. And they come like thousands of them, you know, bunches. And so the mustard seed plant I didn't see, but from explanation, it sounds like a big bush. And so he says, even the birds can come in the shadow of that bush. It's not a tree, but is bigger than a smaller plant. There are some small seeds. We have this red plant outside. You see the seed is tinier than mustard seed. But that plant just goes up to here and doesn't become big bush, and the birds of the air will not come to make a nest there or stay in there. So what is this is saying? He says this is the way the kingdom of God is. When you preach the word of God, you're preaching to all kinds of people. You're preaching to the Indians or Pakistanis or different kinds of religion or all kinds of people, and they come to hear the gospel of God. And so when we see Christianity, we have all other languages and all other colors and nationality. People come to the umbrella of Christianity. You don't see this in other countries. There are some religion in India they call Parsis. They don't take anybody in their religion. They want only Parsis to worship. There is another religion, they are Punjabis. They don't bring any other religious people in Punjabi religion. They have their own religion. There is Sindhis. They don't convert any other people in Sindhi religion. Only Christian religion is the one. Everybody comes in an umbrella, even though we help everybody. Now, if you see Billy Graham's son, if the disaster happens, he goes to everyone. He doesn't say, if you are a Christian, then I help you. He helps everybody. So that means the Christian people should be like a mustard seed. You should be having compassion on everybody and bring them in the shadow or bring them in Christ. That's the way the Christian life is all about. It's not only for us. There are some people, they don't want anybody else but us. They have some people say, now it's changed. 50, 60 years ago, black churches, only black people, white churches, only white people. Today also, Indian people, they have Indian congregation. They don't want any other people coming. They come from India and they have their own language and their own congregation. They don't want any other people mixing. But our church is called what? International Christian Fellowship. We want all kinds of people come, and we are like a mustard seed. We want all people come to Jesus Christ. And that's what the meaning is. Okay, verse 33.
And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side.
Now here we see, he gave the parables. He did not explain to other people. He explained to only disciples. And he said to them, God has given you grace and the mystery is revealed to you, but to others, I'm going to speak with the parables. The evening came. Now he said, let's go. Now they were almost in the sea. We heard in the beginning, the boat was there, the ship was there, he was in the ship, and he was preaching there. Now is the evening, and you can see, I don't know he started at what time, but hours and hours he's preached, so he's tired. So now what Jesus Christ is saying, let's go to other side. Now when Jesus said, let's go to other side, that means we will go to other side. Jesus said it, and it will be done. But see what happens. Let's read the whole story. Bidak, say the whole thing from 36.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
Now see the situation. One ship, Jesus Christ is sitting, and he said, according to this, he went to the underground, means a little bit lower part. And he took a pillow, and he was sleeping. Now when you say when somebody takes the pillow, means you really wants to sleep, or you are really tired. So he went there. Now here, not only one ship, there were other little ships were following them. So now there are so many people, other sheep and his sheep, and they're following. And he says a great thunderstorm or some kind of hurricane came, and they start drowning. Such a way that the first level was completely filled with the water. So now they knew we are going to drown. Now they got so afraid, and they called the master, say, Master, Master, you don't care about us. We are perishing. Now just think, Jesus Christ is in your boat. He is in your house. He is also traveling with you. If the boat goes under, Jesus Christ was a little bit more under. So he will be drowned too. So, but these people did not have that kind of faith. Jesus told us, let's go to other side. We will be going other side because he said it. So we are not going to drown. And Jesus is in our boat. We are not going to drown. But they start saying, Master, Master. Now they are accusing him. Don't you care? You sleeping? And we are going to drown? And I was sound asleep. My wife says, we are dying. People are scared. The plane is going to crash. I say, it's not going to crash because God is with us and we are going to preach. We are going for the mission trip. It's not going to happen. Thank God God saved us. But in that journey, 2-3 times we had to take a plane, detour, and come back to the airport because we had a problem. But the point I'm making, God was with us and we didn't have any problem. Jesus Christ is in the boat and they are scared. They are afraid. See what Jesus said. Verse 39.
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Okay. Now here, Jesus Christ did not say, Why did you bother me when I was sleeping? I was sound asleep. Didn't say anything. First thing he did, rebuked the wind, rebuked the waves, everything completely calm, more calmer than regular. They never saw that kind of calm in that kind of environment. So these people were really, really surprised. Now, after everything calms down, see what Jesus said to them.
And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
See, the fear is not from the Lord. 2 Timothy Chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. So he said, why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? And where is your faith? When the fear comes, fear is opposite faith. When you lost your faith, that's why you are afraid of things. But when we have faith of God, we are not afraid of anything because Jesus Christ is always with us. These people saw something in Christ. Verse 41.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Now, this fear is not fear. This fear, when they fear exceedingly, this is respect for Jesus. Wow! He is God. What kind of man is this? We never saw this kind of miracle. We never saw somebody can calming down the wind and sea obey him. So they got more respect for Jesus Christ from that day onwards. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come and listen to the word of God. Thank you for Jesus, who gives us every explanation so we can learn more for the glory of God. And when we learn, we teach others, and many people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have started a good work in us, and you are going to complete it. Lord Jesus, give us the sound faith, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the doubt. Take it away from our hearts and give us the sound mind and let us love you and follow you. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.